Today I'm talking to Ruth Dombey. You're leader of the London Borough of Sutton, but you have announced you're going to be standing down as leader, but you're going to continue as a local councillor for Sutton North. 12 years you've been leader, and I understand it's one of the longest periods of time that somebody's been leader of a council. So why are you standing down now?
Hi, Jackin. Thanks for inviting me along. It is 12 years, and 12 years is quite a long time. I hadn't realised until I announced that I was one of the longest standing leaders in London. It's a fantastic job. It's a great role. It's given me huge opportunities, and I've met the most amazing people. But it's also a massive workload, and after 12 years, as you say, I'm still going to be a councillor. I'm still going to represent my ward on the council, but it's time to give someone else a go.
The Lib Dems are doing so well at the moment in the local council and parliament.
Absolutely.
Are you sad to be standing down at this sort of time?
Well, as I say, I'll still be a councillor, I'll still be campaigning for the Liberal Democrats, and I'll still be involved. Things are going very well for the Liberal Democrats, both across London and nationally. So bring on the general election, we'll see what happens. But I'm still part of the Lib Dem family, I'm still an active campaigner, and I'll still have an active role. If anything, by not being lead, I'll have more time for campaigning, so I can get even more involved.
That thought did actually cross my mind. What do you feel have been some of your key contributions and highlights as leader of the council?
Do you know, it's really difficult because there's so many things, small things and big things. I mean, the things that stand out, the COVID years, were inspirational and exhausting. And I'll remember those years for the rest of my life. It just shows when there's an emergency how people step up. I was actually involved. I was one of the four political leaders across London. So we were having twice daily meetings, sorting out how London as a city was going to cope with the pandemic and the lockdowns. And I've made lasting friendships across the political divide. It was extraordinary to see how so many volunteers in my borough, but across London and the country, how they stepped up, and the work that the charity and voluntary sector did, along with health and police. It was a joint effort, and it really shows just the power of local government and local democracy when we all pull together and we all work in the best interests of our residents. The other biggie for me here in Sutton is the London Cancer Hub. And that was very much when I first became leader in 2012, I said to everyone, I don't want to be in the office all day long. I want to get out and about. So I went off to visit the Royal Marsden Hospital, which is in my borough, which I knew anyway, as many people do. I'd actually had breast cancer, so I was an outpatient there. But what I hadn't realised, and no one, to be honest, very few other people had, was that right next door to the Marsden is the Institute for Cancer Research, which is one of the most important cancer research centres in the world. It's one of the top four, and the other three are in the States. So I got to know them, and we realised that actually the council could make a huge contribution helping both the Marsden and the Institute for Cancer Research to redevelop a very, very large site in what is going to become one of the most important cancer research and diagnostic centres in the world. And I'm really thrilled that this is happening in our borough. We've now got a development partner on board who's going to be putting in hundreds of millions of pounds into the project. And there's all sorts of exciting plans to develop that site. It's going to bring 13,000 new jobs to the borough. It's going to bring 1.2 billion to the UK economy. It's a project of national importance. And I'm really proud that I was there at the beginning and gave the impetus, the drive to take it forward. It's been about partnership working. So Epsom St Helier Hospital have been involved as well. And it just shows the power of local government to bring together different players, different partners, and create something really important. It's going to help the scientists there develop new drugs, which is going to save lives, but it's also going to be such a boost to the local economy here in Sutton and across southwest London. So I'm particularly proud of that. And there's many, many other things. The work that we're doing to regenerate the high street will bring a lot of new jobs and will boost the economy here in Sutton. But I think I'm particularly proud of the way that Sutton is such a welcoming place to live. It's changed a lot since I first became leader. I know the census 10, 12 years ago, over 70% of the people living here identified as white British. And the last census, that was just over 50%. So our borough is a lot more diverse now, and I welcome that. It's bringing all sorts of new opportunities. We've got a very large Tamil community, lots of people from the sub-Asian community are here, but also people have come here from Hong Kong, and I know that's true in Kingston as well, where you're based. They've looked and seen that we have some of the best schools in the country, we have very low crime, lovely parks, and they've chosen to come and live here. But I think what I'm very proud of is the fact that they, having made that choice, they tell me how welcoming Sutton is, how much they feel it's their home now, and how everyone has done everything they could to make sure that they were able to integrate properly and be part of our local community. And that makes me very proud.
Well, you obviously had a very, very busy time. Can I briefly take you back to the London Cancer Hub? Because as you are aware of, sad news at NHS England, they're relocating, but they're actually closing it down, the paediatric oncology unit. And I know there's been massive, massive cross-party grievance about this. Are you going to continue as being a councillor to carry on to see if we can get this decision reversed? It seems such a...
Absolutely, 100%. I've been very much involved in the whole campaign. I'm in close contact with some of the parents. And I've actually pulled together the leaders of all the South West London boroughs and the leaders of Surrey County Council. So the leaders of all three political parties in our area, we're all on the same page. We're all lobbying together. We've actually just set up another meeting where we're going to think about how we can call in the decision and ask the Secretary of State to reconsider. We think it's a flawed decision. I've been having quite a few health problems recently, and I've been going to St George's. I've now been transferred to the Marsden. I can understand how upset families are at the idea that not only are they being transferred to Wandsworth, but potentially they're going to have to go to the Evelina in central London. If you have an immunocompromised child, you are not going to use public transport. It is absolutely a flawed decision, but not just from an accessibility convenience point of view, important though that is. St George's has a huge reputation for dealing with paediatric oncology, and I just think it's such a mistake we're going to lose all that expertise. We do think it's a flawed decision, and we're absolutely going to carry on the battle. As I say, we're going to challenge the decision. We're talking about how we can lobby the Secretary of State, and it's heartening to see that seven council leaders from three political parties are all on the same page on this. We're really supportive of the parents' campaign, and we want the NHS, we want to help them understand that this decision is flawed and they need to rethink it.
Moving on, what are some of the things you'd like to have had more time to focus on, or battles that you might have won, like ULEZ and its impact on the residents?
I mean, there's all sorts of things that, you know, the battles will continue. One of the problems we have in Sutton and Kingston to some extent, but even more so in Sutton, is the lack of public transport. We are not well connected to the rest of London. We are reliant on trains, and most trains, we have two trains an hour. Even coming from Sutton to Kingston, I'd love to use public transport, but I can get there in 20 minutes in the car, and it will take me well over 40 minutes, if not an hour, on public transport. And Kingston is right next door to Sutton. So we're very poorly served by public transport. And that's why the ULEZ argument doesn't work for us. We understand the need for clean air. We understand that it would be good to encourage people to use public transport more. But we need to have that public transport in order to use it, which is why we campaigned against ULEZ. And we're really disappointed that the mayor went ahead anyway. So the campaign for better public transport continues. There's all sorts of options that would improve connectivity and encourage people to use public transport here in Sutton. And so the ULEZ argument is actually about public connectivity and the fact that it's so difficult to get from Sutton to other parts of London. City Hall in Newham, I went there once. It took me an hour and three quarters to get there. You know, we're paying London prices. We're paying London mortgages. We're paying London rents. We're paying London childcare costs. And yet we don't have the sort of public transport the rest of London has. partners. So that's something that absolutely the campaign will continue. But the most important thing of all, I'm afraid, is about funding. And this is true not just of Sutton, but every other council in the country. One of the most shocking things that's happened over the last 12 years since I've been leader is the way in which funding to local government has been cut. And we've lost approximately 60% of the funding that we used to receive from central government. And we're now almost entirely dependent on council tax. And it's not fair that everyone should be paying for services like social services, services for adults and children, not based on their ability to pay, which would be income tax, but based on the value of their homes. It's totally unfair. And it's also very unequal. So if I think about some inner London boroughs, if I think about Islington, Camden, Wandsworth, they still get between 60 and 70% of their funding from central government. They only have to tax their residents via council tax by about 16-20%. And for us, it's the complete opposite. So we are totally reliant on council tax, as is Kingston Council and many, many other London boroughs, outer London boroughs. We've calculated that if in some and we receive the same amount of government funding per person as Wandsworth does, not only could we freeze council tax, we could reduce it by 16%. So the year-on-year cuts to funding means it's really difficult because every council has to provide a balanced budget. So every year we're having to find ways of providing the same 800 services to more and more people, but with less money. And that's becoming really difficult. When I first became a councillor, Sutton Council employed 5,000 people. It's now 1,200 people, and we've just gone out to voluntary redundancy again because we've got to find ways of cutting our costs. 70% of the council budget now goes on social services. So that's services to the elderly, services to people with learning disabilities, physical disabilities, and children with special needs. So with over 70% going on those people who absolutely are entitled and need those services, but are in a minority, the majority of people then don't have enough council funding left to provide all those other services that everyone quite rightly would like to be able to enjoy. And as I say, this isn't a Sutton problem. It's happening all across the country. Some councils have gone bankrupt. Sutton isn't in that situation, but certainly it's getting more and more difficult to find ways of continuing to provide the same services to more people with less money. And something has to change. I saw an article the other day that said that one in five councils across the country now are on the verge of bankruptcy. This is really serious, and I think people need to understand that just like we protest and lobby for the NHS, quite rightly, we need to have that same level of understanding of what local government does, and people need to be lobbying their MPs and insisting that the funding formula is changed, that it's fairer, but there is more money available for local government. At the end of the day, we save lives. We are the people that step in when the police have to save money and don't provide certain services anymore, when the NHS step back because they're no longer able to provide certain community services. We're the ones who have to step up, and we need to be properly funded.
Do you know who your successor might be?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the decision will be made with a vote at the council meeting on the 20th of May. But given that we are the majority, we've already discussed amongst ourselves and decided that the best person for the job is Councillor Barry Lewis, who's a councillor in Wallington. So it's not official yet because there has to be a vote at full council. It's a bit like selecting the Prime Minister. The majority party has a vote amongst themselves, and then the official announcement will be made, and that will be on the 20th. But it'll be Barry Lewis. He has all my support. We're having a really good handover and transition, and he knows that I'm around after he becomes leader if he ever wants a sympathetic ear or a little bit of advice.
I was going to ask you, when you leave your desk for Barry and you wrote a letter, would you have some words of wisdom to give him from your 12 years as leader?
It's really difficult to sum it up in two words. And the things I'm saying to him is to trust his instincts. We are part of a very complex organisation called local government, but we're here to represent our community. So trust your political instincts and remember that we are the voice of the community to the council, not the voice of the council to the community. We're here to represent our residents. And it's really important that however much we have to spend time in the town hall, however long the meetings are and the very lengthy documents we have to read, at the end of the day, what matters is listening to our residents, hearing what they're saying to us, and finding solutions that work for them.
Ruth, it's been delightful talking to you. Do you have a farewell message for our Radio Jackie listeners?
So I'm not going to say farewell because I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here. I think sort of as an overarching message, I'd say take more interest in what your local council does. It's not just about collecting the rubbish and cutting the grass verges and filling in the potholes. We provide 800 different services, things that you take for granted, and rightly so. The fact you don't get food poisoning when you go to a restaurant is because we have environmental health officers who are going in and checking that everything is above board. We look after some very, very vulnerable children. We've got a growing number of young people who need very, very expensive care packages, and that makes it more difficult then to spend the money that we would like to spend sweeping the streets, improving the parks, looking after the libraries and all the rest. So please take an interest. When the council consults on something, please give us your views, because if we don't know what you think, then how are we going to make the right decision? Get more involved in whichever way suits you best, but have more respect for local government, more respect for what councillors do. Most councillors have a full-time job and do this in their spare time. So I think my message would be take an interest in what's happening in your local area, get more involved, and contact your local councillor to find out what's going on.
Thank you, Ruth. So I'll let you go now and say goodbye for the afternoon and have a good day.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.